Good morning. As the Sunday school is exiting, I wonder if I could ask a brother to please bring me up a little cup of water. Thank you. I think Philip has volunteered. I see him nodding. Dan, what beautiful selection of hymns. Thank you so much. I feel I don't need to speak this message. I think the hymns spoke it. More holiness give me. All those verses. Would you turn back in your hymn book, please, to 362? I mean, both of these hymns encapsulate, Dan, brother, you're just, as always, spot on, just encapsulate the thoughts that the Holy Spirit has impressed upon my heart as I think of my life, and we look at our lives individually, when we think of what does God expect of us, and he says, be holy for I am holy. And these verses just encapsulate perfectly and minister to our hearts as to what we need to be about doing. If you're there at hymn 262 again, what an exhortation to our hearts. Amen? I didn't hear you. What an exhortation to our hearts. Amen?
Amen?
All right. More holiness give me. More striving within. More patience in suffering. More sorrow from sin. More faith in my Savior. More sense of his care. More joy in his service, more purpose in prayer. I mean, I'm sure each one of us look at those words, those lyrics, and say, yes, Lord, that's for me. Amen? That's for me. More gratitude give me. We need to be a grateful people. Amen? More trust in the Lord. More pride in his glory, his glory. More hope in his word. More tears for his sorrows. More pain at his grief, more meekness in trial, more praise for relief. Just beautiful. And then turn over just a few pages to 376. And I'm doing this just for our sake, for my sake, maybe more than your sake. But I was looking at a website during the week, last week, and I don't know why, just the Holy Spirit, I think, just led me to that website, because I was thinking about all the thousands and thousands of hymns that there are. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, brother, very much. That were inspired by the Holy Spirit for us to bring glory to God. And so many of them in the Psalms, of course, but so many of them in Revelation. And when it if you're there at hymn 376, take time to be holy, speak off with thy Lord. At the end of the message, Lord willing, I'm just going to mention two things that are paramount in our day-to-day life that will increase our holiness to our God. It's for him. It's not for one another to look at, so that sister's whole, you know. No, it's for our relationship with our God. Take time to be holy, speak off with thy Lord. It's prayer. Abide in him always. Feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those that are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. Beautiful, beautiful words and lyrics of this, these two hymns. So with that as a backdrop, it's just I wanted to share with you in opening, as we look at God's word together, I'd like to ask you to turn, please, to a familiar passage. It's found in Isaiah chapter 6. And of course, and I mentioned to you about the book of Revelation, not only here in Isaiah do we see the inspiration for hymns, the hymn, Holy, 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 but I went to this website, I started telling you about this website I went to this week, and there's three pages of printouts by a Ralph Wilson, who then takes the book of Revelation and looks at it in terms of hymns that the book of Revelation has inspired. So while you're turning to Isaiah chapter 6, I'll meet you there in just a minute. I'd like to consider with you briefly this morning, and I mean briefly, because you could have conferences on this topic of personal and personal holiness, but just looking at the book of Revelation and how it has inspired countless hymns. One that comes to mind is, and you're in Isaiah 6, so you're seeing the same thing as a view of heaven, holy, holy, holy. But I'm just going to read a couple of them because it just was so inspiring. In Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6, the hymn. I think it's David Dunlap's one of his favorite hymns, because he gives it out a lot, and he's mentioned it to me. I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Do you know that hymn? I will praise him, yeah. And Margaret Jenkins wrote that in 1898. And, of course, many of the contemporary Christian artists today have redone that hymn beautifully. Every eye shall see him, Revelation 1:7. His new name written down in glory, Revelation 2:17. How great is our God? Of course, contemporary artists like Chris Tomlin have done a great job with that hymn. And that's Revelation 4:5. And going down the list, of course, Revelation 4:8, which we're about to read here in Isaiah, inspired, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty that Dan gave out to us. In Revelation also in chapter 5, verse 12, that song, a contemporary Christian hymn, Revelation song, worthy is the Lamb. Thou art worthy. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, Revelation 5:11. And the list goes on, and there's three or four pages of great songs that Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote, like The King is Coming, all from the book of Revelation. Then we look at the Psalms together, and we see all the beautiful hymns that they are hymns, that we sing today in our hymn book, inspired by God's holy word. So God's character is holy, God's word is holy, his praise, he inhabits the praises of his people. So when we sing these hymns, it is holiness to him. It is observing and recognizing and praising him for who he is, his character of holiness. Isaiah chapter 6, I promised to meet you there. So we're there now as we consider what has echoed from eternity past, what echoes now, and what will echo for eternity without end is the praise and the holiness of our God. And so this morning, let's look at this. This business of holiness, what does it mean to us? How can we be holy? How can we aspire to holiness? And Isaiah 6 is a beautiful picture, isn't it? We've read this in many times at the Lord's Supper, Isaiah's vision. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Read along with your Bible, if you will, in chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, Isaiah writes, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with a train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Let's pray. Father, we bow in your holy presence this morning as we have begun just to look and glimpse at this topic of holiness. And Father, as we do explore this morning, may each heart be turned to you. May we look inwardly to ourselves and examine ourselves and be challenged, dear Father, that our lives might be lived in holiness to you. So we commit ourselves to you now, and to the speaking of your word and the listening of your word, and of our Father, the Holy Spirit residing in us, to take the things of the Lord Jesus and reveal them to us, we pray, that we might be more conformed to the image of your Son in holiness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word holy is mentioned 581 times in Scripture. 581 times in Scripture. Anything that's mentioned that much must require our attention. I'd like you to look over, as we just took a glimpse of what, as I said, has occurred, it continues to occur, and will occur throughout eternity, is angelic worship of our God. One day we're going to be there. Amen? Are you not sure? One day we're going to be there. Amen?
Amen?
Singing holy, holy, holy to the Lord God Almighty. And so that's a glimpse Isaiah gives us. I'd like to call your attention back a little further in God's word this morning. And look with me, please, to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, please. Let's go back to the first mention, I believe, of holy this in the book of Exodus. So Exodus, anyone care to, any brother care to guess what chapter we're going to be in for a minute or two? Chapter 3, good guess. We're going to look at the first mention of holiness. And it's interesting, I found this interesting as I just, again, this is just a glimpse. This certainly requires a much more in-depth study. We're going to glimpse at God's holy presence. We're going to glimpse at a holy ground. We're going to glimpse at that to begin with, and then to end with in Revelation 22, we're going to look at a holy city. Don't you find it interesting? It begins with God's holy presence, with a holy ground, and ends with a holy city. The Word of God is holy. We read this expression too many times in Scripture. I didn't look up how many times in the Bible programs. But we read His holy Word many, many times. So His Word is holy. So let's start by describing His holy presence as it presents itself in God's Word. So Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord, of course that was a theopanes, appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, incarnate appearance, appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, and the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burnt up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then he goes on, and Moses hides his face, and he goes on to explain how he's seen the affliction of his people. Shoes are something that is made with hands, is it not? Take off from your feet your shoes, that which is made with hands, and come before me in my presence. Holy presence, holy presence. And we come to God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're able to enter into the holy presence of God, not with anything of ourselves, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're able to stand before him because of what Christ has done for us. Merriam-Webster defines holy this way: divine, exalted. Our Lord God is holy. He is divine. He is exalted. Holy is his name. Holy is his character. Holy is his presence. A Bible dictionary that I used defines holiness this way: it's one of the essential attributes of his divine nature. Holiness. Holiness. Charles Rari wrote something interesting. I quoted him because I thought this was interesting. He asks the question, what does it mean to be healthy? Charles Rari writes, what does it mean to be healthy? He says it means more than not being sick, doesn't it? It likewise, holiness is more than just the absence of sin. It is a positive, healthy state of being in God's light. Turn with me, please, to the New Testament, almost all the way to the end of your Bible, and turn to another familiar passage in 1 John, the first epistle of John, please. Flip over as quickly as you can to 1 John chapter 1. One of the commentaries that I was looking at when looking at this business of holiness and thinking of Charles Rari's comments, what does it mean to be healthy? It's not just the absence of sickness, but it's a positive, healthy state of being in God's light. And this is referring to the light that we see in this verse in 1 John 1 and 5. You know the verse, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. What a beautiful illustration Charles Ryrie makes that, what does it mean? What does it mean that God is holy? God is encapsulated in light. He is the essence of light. He is the essence of holiness. So yes, the holiness of God in his triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is something that is beyond our reckoning. It's beyond our comprehension. But we glimpse at it. We glimpsed at it with the burning bush. Take off your sandals. Take off your shoes, Moses. Remove that which was handmade. Come before me. Stand in my holy presence. Moses was in awe. Isaiah was in awe as he got a glimpse of heaven with the seraphims and the angels crying, holy, holy, holy. And we look into God's word and we explore God's word, spending time in God's word, and we stand in awe. I know I've quoted this hymn so many times. I hope you're not tired of it, but the lyrics are so vivid in my heart. We stand in awe when we look at God's holiness and his word. We stand in awe because we only see but a tiny glimpse of God's majesty. And that little glimpse that we get in God's word, it just fills us. It fills us to overflowing. Did you know that the Hebrew and the Greek words used in Scripture when it comes to the word holiness simply mean this? Set apart. Set apart. We are a people that are set apart to God. And so what God desires of us in our holiness is to just be set apart for him. To be set apart for him. I will quote a verse for you. You don't have to turn there, but in Leviticus chapter 20, in verse 7 and 8, God exhorts us, you shall consecrate yourself before me, set apart yourself before me, and be holy, and be holy. I am the Lord God who sanctifies you. He does the setting apart, and we need to follow him in his word and see what he means by that. So what does God mean then? I ask myself, what does God mean when he asks us to be holy? So we look back in the Old Testament. We look a little bit at this business of the burning bush and God's presence. But now let's look at what God expects of us. Let's go back to the Old Testament. I know I have you jumping around a little bit today, but that's all right. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. The entire book of Leviticus is written with this theme in mind, holiness. The entire book of Leviticus has as its theme holiness. Look at chapter 11. This is, of course, the laws of cleanliness and holiness. And I'm going to make application to that. The holy God and a holy people and the food, the clean and the unclean, and what they should and should not eat. But I'd like you to just notice this as chapter 11 deals with that, the laws of cleanliness and holiness, that it's a holy God and a holy people. And we worship a holy God, the one and only holy God, the Holy One. Scripture uses that phrase, the Holy One, numerous times. We worship the Holy One, and we are his chosen people, right? You are a special people to me. And so he says to consecrate yourself. That's personal, or personal holiness. And so look at Leviticus chapter 11. I just want you to look at a couple verses here, and by way of application, apply them to our lives. Here's the command of God. He talks about all the different types of animals and so on and so forth. But look at in Leviticus 11, look at verse 44 with me, would you? And here we read these words. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make yourselves unclean with any swarming things that swarm upon the earth. I'm glad for that. For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. He's speaking to his chosen people, Israel. He's speaking to our hearts today too. Because there's so much in the world today that allures us, attracts us, and seeks to draw us away from him so that we won't be holy. But what's the verse? It's in 1 Peter, I believe it is. Being holy, for I am holy. God wants that from us. And you know, I was thinking about this business of holiness. Holiness is not for for advanced Christians. Well, you know, Brother so-and-so is a commended worker. He's out preaching in the Lord's work full-time. Or my friend, Pastor so-and-so, great men of God, Charles Stanley, Bible teachers and so on. It's for you and I. It's for you and I. Being holy is something that should be found in the beginning and the center of God's will and God's call on our lives. And it looks like this. Here's what it looks like. It looks like this. Moral purity. In my life and in your life, holiness should look like this. Moral purity. One need only to turn the TV on to the 6 o'clock news and be disgusted by the politicians. I won't go into in detail, but you know what I'm talking about. Look at the politicians that are running this year for election, and we see anything but moral purity. It's pretty scary out there. And so this world that we live in, God wants us to be a set-apart people. He's desirous for us to have a moral conduct so that when people look at us, they say there's something different about that man. There's something different about that woman. What is it about them? I want to know more about them. Let's look at Hebrews chapter, flipping back to the New Testament again, please, and look at Hebrews chapter number 8. Turn your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter number 8. Hebrews chapter number 8, and let's read a couple verses together. The new covenant. We are under the new covenant. Of course, we're not under the law. We're under grace. What we consider the blessedness of being holy and what that looks like in our life. So in Hebrews chapter number 8, we'll look at verses 10 through 12 and look at the fact that the new covenant rests upon, of course, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 of Hebrews 8 reads this way. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. The Bible, biblical holiness then describes a unique relationship that you and I have come into that has been established for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And the command is for us, the challenge is for us to be holy as He is holy. By reminding our hearts, stirring our minds, and reminding our hearts of the amazing and wonderful relationship that we have in Christ, we gain a deeper understanding of what holiness should look like in our lives. Look with me, please, to Galatians chapter 2. Flip back just a few chapters, a few books over, and turn to Galatians chapter 2. Paul reminds us here in Galatians 2. We look at what is holiness. Paul's describing it. Paul reminds us that not only have we been crucified with Christ, but that He lives in us. Yes, our lives have been hid in Christ. And so, what does holiness look like? Paul describes it for us beautifully. Holiness in Galatians 2. And look with me, please, to... let's go back for sake of connection. Verse 16. Galatians 2:16 for sake of connection. Paul's writing here, Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law will, of course, show us how far we fall from doing that which is right, but we have grace, we have our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the finished work of Christ on the cross and our faith in Him and trust in Him for our salvation, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For I For I rebuild what I have once destroyed. I prove myself a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. Now verse 20 is where I wanted to go. Of course, the Christian Life Schofield heads this section that begins at verse 20 with the Christian life and the outliving of the Savior in our lives. I have been, Paul said, crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. O life of my life, blessed Jesus, the hymn writer could say, O death of the death that was mine, for me was thy cross and thine anguish, thy sorrow and thy love so divine. Paul describes this holiness, brothers and sisters, and it has two aspects to it. Putting the old life to death, mortician, or putting it, mortifying the old life, and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says also in Romans, don't turn there, but listen to what he says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Paul explains that we should be and we should experience Christ controlling our life. Christ controlling our life. And it starts with the will of the mind. Colossians 3, says what? It's an active will of the mind. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on these things. Moral purity in a world that is immoral, being set apart to God in reality, is what the beginning of this practical holiness is in our life. So how are we doing? I started a few months or so ago to try to get back into a hobby that I've had for years. It's kind of difficult to get into a hobby like this when you live in an apartment complex because they don't allow any external antennas on your house. But I have a license with the government. I have a ham radio license that I was issued years ago after taking a test. So people say you're a ham, but yeah, I am a ham. Ham radio operator. I'm trying to get back into this hobby for the little free time I have and maybe make some contacts. It's an interesting little hobby. You need to have an antenna. It needs to be somewhere outside. That's a challenge, so I have a couple of them in the attic, unbeknownst to the owners of the community. And I try to make contact. To do that, the illustration is You need to be tuned in to the right frequency. This particular grade of license that I'm at this point, it's a beginner's grade. There's grades above that. The higher you go in your license, the more frequencies you can operate on, the more countries you can reach, and so on. But the idea is that with the radio, you know, these days now everything's digital. But in the olden days, I have a couple old shortwave radios, and maybe some of you might remember this, you had to tune in to the right frequency. You had to be right on the spot. Today it's all done for us electronically. When we want 104.3 Moody Radio in our cars, we just press the button, bingo, there it is. But years ago, we had to tune it in. And there was often a lot of static in the tuning. And the fine tuning was very important to hear the message. And so it is in our lives today. We need to fine-tune it. I'm going to get into that in just a second. But what that fine-tuning involves is a deliberate action on my part. I must sit at the bench. I must look at the radio. I must consider where I want to talk. I must move the dials so that I get that correct frequency in so that I can meet that person wherever they are on their frequency. Our God is holy by his character, by his nature. His name is holy. He is the Holy One. He is the Exalted One. We read in Isaiah, we read in the Psalms, we read in Revelation, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He declares us to be holy. He declares us to be set apart because of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this phrase, set apart, this phrase is used and seen almost 200 times in Scripture. I was amazed. And that's personal holiness. Personal holiness is the work of the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life as we yield ourselves to Him. As we yield ourselves to Him. It must be deliberate. As deliberate as tuning in to the correct frequency, we must set our minds on the things that are eternal. Because it's so easy for my mind, I don't know about you, but it's so easy for my mind to get captured by the earthly, by the here and now, so much so that it distracts me from that which is eternal, eternal. And then the communication falls apart. Personal holiness. We must be deliberate about it. We must set our minds. We must choose that which occupies our minds, and that will occupy our heart. God will do a work in us, a work of holiness in us. He'll change our conduct, the hymns that we sing. He'll change our conduct, the way we act, if we allow Him to do that. My character will change as I increase in my holiness to God, as I'm set apart to God, as I tune in, as it were, to the frequency of God's heart. And what is God's heart, brothers and sisters? It's a word begins with L. What is God's heart? Love. God is love. And he wants us to have that not only positional holiness, but He wants us to have a practical holiness. Turn with me, please, if you're in Galatians, then you're not too far from the book of Ephesians. So flip over a couple pages. You're getting your fingers exercised in God's Word today, aren't you? Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Paul reminds us here in Ephesians 2, verse 6, that we are seated in the heavenlies with God. Positionally, we're there already because of Christ. 2 and 6, Ephesians 2 and 6 reads, let's go for connection, please, to verse 4. Actually, let's go to verse 1. I've got 8 minutes left. So let's look at Ephesians 2 and 1. We'll make the whole connection here with the help of the Lord. And you who were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, tuned into the world, if you will, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among them you too all formerly lived in the lusts of your flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, this is a wonderful expression, by the way, if any of you are interested in a word study, type into your computer the words "but God" and see, that'll bring you to a beautiful, beautiful study of God's Word. I spoke on "but God" once. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together, quickened us with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, it's plural there, the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He's showing us now, He will show us more when we reach glory. But for now, He allows us to be positionally holy with Him, but He works in our lives so that we might be practically holy. Because as one writer said, I forgot just who it was and I didn't make note of it in my works, but one writer said, because even on our best day, brothers and sisters, on our best day, with our best behavior, with our best efforts, we cannot make ourselves holy. Amen? Practical holiness. And with this, I must close. While it is true, our holy position is secured, we're seated with Him in the heavenlies because of Christ, we still have the responsibility to live a life set apart to God. In the Old Testament, God dedicated Israel as His people. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, practical holiness, right? Chosen people, peculiar people. Practical holiness is something we need to desire as the hymns that Dan picked out, and strive for with the power of the Holy Spirit. They were holy by their relationship with the Holy God. We are holy because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They entered the tabernacle, the holiness. The priest, the high priest, entered the Holy of Holies to worship and pray, and we enter the Holy of Holies because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like this morning, for example, as we came before the Lord at his table, at his bequest, this do in remembrance of me. I'd like you to look at a last passage in closing, and it's found in 2 Corinthians, please. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, and let's read this verse together. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. Are we striving? Are we growing in our holiness before him? 2 Corinthians 7, 1 reads this way. Paul writes, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Striving to perfect holiness in the fear of God. What does that look like in our life? It looks like this: moral purity, back to the basics. I love to get back to the basics by the word of God and through prayer. The hymns we sung mentioned both of those things. How shall a man cleanse his way? Psalm 119, verse 9. But through, by taking heed to thy word. We need daily to be in God's word. John 17, 17 says, "Sanctify us through thy word. Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. You know, I was sharing with the men, there's some people in our community that I've been servicing lately in my part-time job, and I hand them a track when I'm done with washing and waxing their car, and I try to talk to them a little bit about the Lord if they'll hear it. And some of them have said to me, "Well, the Bible is written by a lot of different people." We were discussing this in the men's group today a little bit briefly as an aside note. But so many of them do not believe the Bible that is in your lap this morning, brothers and sisters. Many of them do not believe it's in the inerrant word of God. And that's sad. That's really sad. And I'll bet you if we were to do some investigating on the internet, and I haven't, but I bet you if we did, we'd find there are many Christians that barely even pick up their Bible. Christians. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so personal holiness, positional holiness, means that I not only want to pick it up, but I want to just feast on it. And I want to enjoy God's word. And I want to hear God speaking to me through his word. And when he does, I'm going to read a couple closing verses for you. It's actually a prayer, I believe, by Paul. As he prays this prayer, he says, "May our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you," Paul says to the church at Thessalonica. He says, "And may the Lord cause you," Paul says, "to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we do for you." But listen now, he says this in verse 13 in his prayer. He says, "that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints." Establish your hearts in holiness. Sanctified, set apart people, a people set apart, and God's word will purge and separate us and keep us in the love of God and sanctify us on a day-to-day basis. How shall a young man, how shall a woman cleanse their way? By taking heed to your word and through prayer. Apostle mentions that prayer resonates in his heart, and it should resonate in my heart too. The Lord make you to increase and abound to the end that establish your hearts. We live in a world today where people are faint of heart. And the Lord wants us as a holy people. Be holy, for I am holy. In chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, we read these words. I found this interesting as I close here. He uses the phrase, your faith. In chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul, in writing to them, says, their faith, your faith. He mentions it 4 times over, repeats it just in that one chapter. What a wonderful prayer he prays for us, that we would be more like the person of Christ, that we would be holy as he is holy. May God help us just to get back to the basics, to be in his word every day, to look forward to our time in his word, and to speak with him in prayer, and that God would be blessed and God would be honored and glorified in our conduct, in our manner of life, both at home and with the unsaved. Let's close in prayer.